Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
To you, it is Memorial Day. I hope that everyone is keeping in mind the reason why we celebrate this day. I hope people take time away from work and from their busy schedules to spend time with family and the people that matter. Because I definitely believe that's one of the things that we learned from this global pandemic is that family and people health are truly what's important. So I go ahead and invite you to go out and have fun, but also don't forget the reason why we're here today. I also invite you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show, because as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable. Why? Because we're sharing information. We have experts. We have people who have shared their journey and they're sharing it with you. But maybe there's someone in your house, someone in your network, someone in your neighborhood. Maybe they're starting their entrepreneur journey. Maybe they just left corporate America. They're on their own. And one of the things we always say as entrepreneurs that we feel is we feel alone. So I bring together five guests each day to share their journeys so everyone can feel a little bit more connected. So please go ahead and share the show. And while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. She is incredible, amazing, and you most likely have seen her before, not on the Roundtable Talk Show, but elsewhere in the world. The incredible Miss Charlene Willis. Charlene is a renowned communications pro, author, and speaker with more than three decades of experience in business, corporate affairs, and communications experience. She leads her namesake communications and business advisory firm, Charlene Willis, LLC, and she is the Senior Advisor for Equity and Justice at APCO Worldwide, a global advisory and advocacy communications consultancy. Good morning, Charlene. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing really well. It's great to see all of you this morning.
It's great to have you here. I am honored. We're going to go ahead and get the show started. But what everyone wants to know is who are you? What do you do? And most important, what are you passionate about?
Right. Well, I guess the question is more around what don't I do after that introduction. So I am an author. I'm a professional speaker. I do keynote speaking. And then I'm also a trusted advisor to leaders, executives, C-suite executives on a variety of communications issues. But I tend to focus these days on equity and justice counsel for a variety of reasons. You know, everyone's focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. But I happen to think that as companies, we've been working on DE&I for 40 years. So it's probably time we realize that traditional DE&I doesn't work, which is why I think we have to take a step to the left and focus on equity and justice, both in society and in our workplaces. And I also wrote a book recently. It's called You Are Enough, Reclaiming Your Career and Your Life with Purpose, Passion, and Unapologetic Authenticity. So you ask, what am I passionate about? I am passionate about helping people understand that they are enough. You know, as women of color, anyone who's different, whether it's in your life or in the corporate world, you're always told or taught through indirectly or indirectly that you have to be something you're not. And so you turn yourself inside out to be something. And if you're not careful, you've done it so much, you don't even know who you are. And that's what happened to me a few years ago. I was at the height of my career. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Oh, wow. And my 7-month battle turned into a near 4-year battle. And the thing is that when you get diagnosed with breast cancer, people gather around you for that fight for your life. But what they don't tell you is that when you come up for air, you may not recognize the life you're in, and you may not recognize or fit into the life you used to have. So for me, cancer changed me. So I changed my world. And now I focus my time on helping other people create the world that they want and the world that they deserve by understanding at the center of it all is that they are enough.
Wow, I think that is powerful. And I really believe that most people don't feel that they are enough, that right. they have dreams, they have desires, they have businesses that they want to create. But then they ask themselves that question, who am I to do this?
Exactly. And I say, who are you not to? Right. And I like to remind people, and it, you know, if you take nothing away other than from what I say, you are enough. The other thing is to remember that it's choice, not chance. That changes your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right?
It's choice, not chance.
You know, I hear you and I definitely agree. That's one of the things that I live by, that life is about choices and consequences. My daughter will be 27 tomorrow, so I'm really excited, you know. But I have 24 and 27, mm-hmm. but if you ask either of them, what has your mom told you all your life? And it's mm-hmm. that simple phrase, life is about choices and consequences. But so often people feel that their life is out of their control, that they're mm-hmm. not the ones who are making these choices. Mm-hmm. You know, I have friends, I have a close friend of mine who's in a real abusive, dysfunctional relationship, but she's been in this relationship for years. And I keep telling her, well, that's the man that you're choosing. And her response is, you know, I don't, you know, it's just him. What would you say to people like that?
Well, you know, again, we make choices that determine which direction our life goes. And there's no such thing as being stuck. There's no such thing as I can't do it. There is a such thing as being afraid, right? And my view on fear is that it's one of two things, right? If you're in a fearful situation, you just say, you know, F it and I'm out of here, right? Or I tell people fear is false evidence. Not appearing real, right? It's false evidence appearing real. It's not true. And you can control your life. And even if you don't make a choice, understand that that is a choice. So you have to be intentional. You can do what you need to do to have the life you want. You just have to believe it in yourself. And also, you know, one thing I learned by going through this very long, drawn out battle with cancer is that you get one choice. You get one time here. Your time is finite. And ask yourself, are you living the life that you want to live? And what would you do if you weren't afraid?
Absolutely.
And based on those questions, live the life you are intended to live. You know, when I came out of cancer, I walked away and went back to work and realized I didn't fit into that life. I walked away from a life that I had spent 33 years creating. It was the only life I knew, but it wasn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just had to take a deep breath. I have this saying called 7 seconds of courage, that with 7 seconds, you can make a decision to change your life. And I had to do that. I had to rescue myself. Otherwise, I was going to continue living a life that didn't fit me. And once I found my purpose, Shrita, once I found my purpose, my entire life just unfolded. Every step created the next step, created the next step.
Mm-hmm. Right? I can definitely imagine. But you know what, Charlene, I'm going to come back to you. I think one of the things that we have to do is, I think we try to give people that message as adults. What we have to do is we have to focus on giving them that message as young people. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Holly Winter Hubert. Holly is a kindergarten teacher by day. At night, she runs two companies, a publishing company, Winnable Press, and a skincare company, Worthy Skincare. Good morning, Holly. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm good. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. And Charlene, I really enjoyed hearing your story. Thank you so much. I am a kindergarten teacher. So I'm a teacher. I've been in the classroom for 31 years, and I've taught everything from pre-K, 3-year-olds, through college. Because kind of like Charlene just said, gosh, am I going to base my whole talk of Charlene's talk? It was so good. But I have every time I go, wow, I figured this out. I want to do something new. I'm one of those people who loves change and loves doing something new. So I've taught high school special education kids in an inner city where they were in gangs or they were minors dancing in striptease bars. And just kind of helping these kids going, maybe this isn't your only choice in life. I've taught on an American Indian reservation, young kids who had never talked to a white person before. So they called me an unda, and all the learnings that came from being there. So I've really enjoyed it. So I'm an author and I run a skincare company. Whew, because I love change. I love trying and doing new things. So the book that kind of got me famous, book everyone wanted to know about, was called Unlikely Memories and Two Amnesias. And the only person in the world, so I've been told by doctors, that has had two separate kinds of amnesia. So I suffered complete and total amnesia. I joke that I was a beta tester for an early drug in the 80s. I thought it was an aspirin. I know. Young. Innocent, take an aspirin from a stranger. Don't ever do that, okay? But it, instead of an early roofie, instead of just erasing a few hours, it erased everything. So I lost everything and had to start over. I had to learn to read. I had to walk and talk, learn the word mom and what it meant, everything from the beginning. And then I had a car accident some years later in my lucky life. And in the car accident, I had a loss of oxygen and got something called visual amnesia. I cannot remember what anything looks like. I can't remember what I look like. I can't remember what my car looks like, my house. I'm sitting right now in my living room, but I don't remember what my bedroom looks like unless I go look at it. So people have enjoyed two unlikely memories and two amnesias. That's sort of the one that put me on the map. And the book that might be your next favorite beach read is Cheese for Breakfast, My Turkish Summer. My very favorite thing to do is travel and write about it. So I went to Turkey in 2019, stayed for 6 weeks, entered the country knowing nobody, knowing don't speak Turkish, know nothing about it, and left with a lot of really amazing adventures. The book is written as a series of essays, and every day is an essay. So it has a beginning, middle, end, super easy to pick up, put down, a fun read. It's a fun read. I also write children's books. I'm not just going to talk about this the whole time, but probably my most well, the book people are buying the most right now is Right Now, Ideas for Writers. And it's a picture book of writing prompts for kids. Kids really, really love having ideas. Although the funny thing is adult writers have started to pick it up also, and different writing groups are doing it. Just a fun way to be able to write.
I am impressed and I am intrigued, but I want to go back to these amnesias. So when you said you can't remember, is that still current?
Correct. I have never regained the first 18 years of my life. They are gone, fried. My brain was fried.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. So with your memory right now, you said you can't remember what was in the living room and you're in, or what's in your bedroom and you're in the living room. So right now you currently have no memory of your living room? Of your bedroom?
So I have a very strong memory. My memory is probably stronger than all of yours. Sorry, just because I've had to learn skills. Nothing against you. But my eyes cannot visually remember what they look like. They say it's like I'm a camera without film. So I'm recording constantly. So if I close my eyes, Sharifa, I don't remember what you're wearing. If you close your eyes, you might not remember what I'm wearing. But even if I tried, I'd have to memorize what color you're wearing or what your hair looks like. So my bedroom, I don't remember what it looks like, but I know it has a large window. I know there's plants. So I can imagine what it looks like, but I cannot visualize. So I cannot visualize anything.
This is interesting. I have, like you said, I have never met anyone like you. This is, I can ask questions all day, but I won't, Holly. I'll ask some more in a little bit, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. She's incredible as well, Miss Candace Rucker. Candace is an account executive at VSC, a strategic communications firm focused on venture-backed tech. Her role includes media relations and messaging for clients across multiple verticals, as well as working on agency culture, DE&I. and mentorship of the next generation of storytellers. Good morning, Candace. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's so good to be here with all these lovely women. And I also have a lot of questions about that amnesia. So we're going to get back to that later because that is very intriguing. It is so wonderful to be around, you know, so many amazing women. It's really inspiring for me. I am very young in my career right now as it is. So when I first graduated college, I graduated with my psychology degree, which is why I'm very interested in the amnesia. And on top of that, after I graduated, I just started working at my college at UCI in the higher education department. I was the program advisor for the part-time MBA program. And it just wasn't creative enough for me. I wasn't able to innovate a lot of things. It was the same things year after year after year. And that's fine. You know, that's just how the program goes. You know, you have your opening residential, kids are in classes, then closing residential and graduation. That's it. But I needed a little bit more of a shakeup in my day. So one of the things that I really wanted to do and what I brought to life while working at UCI was that I created a podcast for the students. So I got a lot of complaints from them that they got too many emails from me, from my boss, from the, you know, the general school. I mean, you get so many emails when you're in school, you know, it's just way too many. You don't read all of them. So what I did was I just put together this 5-minute podcast of all of the announcements that happened that week so they could understand what was going on. It, you know, it only takes 5 minutes of their day, easy peasy. They loved it. It was great. I was also able to include some jokes in there, which was my favorite part. So, you know, as I did that, you know, creating the whole script of the podcast and then recording it and then editing it and doing all of that stuff, I realized I'm like, I need to go into a different industry. I can't be in higher education anymore because I want to do this every day. So I got a job in public relations. And when I first started at my agency prior to the one I'm at now, it's a very niche firm. So we helped people who would come to us, you know, clients, businesses, they wanted to get speaking events. So they would want to be booked on podcasts. They'd want to be booked on conference, you know, conference calls, webinars, all of that stuff. And at the time I thought, I was like, okay, that's PR. I've got it handled. I know what that is. I was wrong. For anybody who knows PR, that is not at all what PR is. So then I got my new job at VSC, which is full service agency. Then I was writing press releases and corporate blogging. And then I was like, okay, this is PR. That makes sense now. One of the things that I really loved about coming into VSC was that we had a very diverse team from the get-go. And the CEO was the only CEO I've ever had that was a man of color. I had never worked for anybody of color before. And I just thought it was amazing because as soon as I came, I was there for 2 months and they came to me and they said, hey, you have a voice. We want to hear what you have to say. And we want you to run all of our social media platforms. I was like, okay, you don't even know me like that, but yeah, let's do this. So, you know, I could mess it up in a day, but okay. So through these conversations that, and, you know, that I've had with my CEO, Vijay, and that I've had with our chief of people, Aunt Sophie, it's just been so inspiring that they care so much about, you know, what I have to say and everybody else in the firm, right? Like it's so great because I keep telling them, especially within a PR agency or really any company that you work for, my favorite thing to say is that you cannot possibly serve a diverse clientele without having a diverse team backing it. You need that, right? And I feel like a lot of companies don't understand that. So I came through the door preaching that. And I said, we also need to give everyone an equal seat at the table at all times, right? And as soon as I started saying that, you know, every time we would run a social media campaign for maybe Black History Month or Women's History Month or Earth Day, you know, I knew that there was someone in the company that was interested in the environment or interested in learning more about African American culture, or interested in, you know, just learning what Women's History Month is, right? And so bringing those people into the conversation, I've been able to get a lot more of that culture going unintentionally. I didn't even realize that I was doing that, but I was able to give everybody who otherwise maybe wouldn't have a voice in something that voice, right? And so it was just so great for me, and it still is, to be able to continue to do that throughout my day-to-day job. Because PR, it is fun, it is chaotic, but when you get your hand in being able to do something more, not just for your client, but for your company, for yourself, and for your peers, that's just more impactful, in my opinion.
I love it. I love it. Candace has personality. I was wondering because I was backstage and I asked Candace a question. Candace gave me one word answers. I was like, I'm a little nervous about this one right here. I try to feel everybody out. I'm good. Candace says, I get to tell jokes. I love it, Candace. I am going to come back to you because you brought up some points. I saw Charlene's face. I was waiting. Like, we going to discuss this. I just want to bring everybody into the conversation. I'm going to come right back. I want to introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Dasha Krushkina. The 28-year-old Dasha is a solo entrepreneur. Dasha's name recently appeared on two lists compiled by Holon IQ, the Global EdTech 100 list of the world's most innovative EdTech startups and 200 top women CEOs and founders leading global EdTech startups. Good morning, Dasha. How are you?
Morning, everyone. I'm super excited to be here. It's also a bit, nervous, emotional to be the only like true immigrant, in the room with like native speakers. So like, apologize for the Russian accents. We're not that angry. It's just language.
Need to apologize, no need to apologize. We're all immigrants to this country. We just, some came sooner, some came later, you know, so don't worry and don't apologize for the accent. I love accents. I love learning. And I've had shows where people were in different parts of the world and on the show. So this is going to be good. Love to learn about you and what you're passionate about.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm actually really passionate about showing people that everything in their life is possible. And especially when it starts like very young age from like education. So I'm founder of a company Study Free. It helps students to study abroad for free with scholarship and grants. And actually, so basically allow every person on the world to study absolutely for free anywhere in any country, and that's possible. And the whole story began from my own experience. I was living in a very small township back in Russia, very simple family, had no money, no financing, had this huge world map over my desk, dreaming about seeing all these countries, knowing all the capitals, but never had a chance to travel. But then like after many years of like tracking down scholarships, looking like through the Google internet, I managed to win lots of scholarships and grants. And I studied for free in Spain, China, then Stanford States, ended up speaking four languages fluently. And that's changed my life so much. It just changed completely. And just some down the road, I decided that I wanted to dedicate my life to show other people that it's possible and to show them that there are opportunities for everyone, for every talented person, for like, I don't know, every talented 15-year-old Indian African girl, you know, like someone who's living in Mexico, who wants to become something significant and to make their life anywhere in the world, not just, you know, like in terms of the jobs, opportunities, but actually country-wise. And right now we have like 70,000 students that apply together with us. Right now we're also trying to shift the mentality of the US students, showing them like, hey guys, you know, like maybe US education system was a bit broken. No education costs that much. And there are like so many great opportunities that you can have much easier access to the world quality education almost for free. And you don't have to repay the student debt for ages after this, you know, like half of your life. And that's kind of the mission I have right now. And, you know, like continuing this, like making impossible possible, that was a very fun journey of being an entrepreneur because I'm solo founder, so I don't have any partners. I'm solo female founder. I'm solo female immigrant founder. I just moved to States like a year ago. So that's been a really fun journey. Really exciting. I just got to Forbes 30 under 30, but in Russia last week. So like one more list to the list. So I don't know, like anything challenging, anything, you know, like you're really dreaming about, being featured on Times, New York Times Square. It's just, that was my life, really helping people to make sure like to get in them through the opportunities. Like, you know, like you have like the computer game, and then you have someone who hacked all the levels and can really guide you till the end. So that's how I see myself and my company further down the road.
I love it. I love it. So you're like a hacker for this industry. Yeah. So you don't have to start at the beginning. You just take the little hacker notes and then you can get to the top. I love it, Dasha. You are definitely interesting. I am going to come back to you because our next guest, almost 300 episodes in, and our next guest is the only guest. Well, I won't say that, but, you know, a couple people came with tiaras, but Miss Alexandra Nima, is an artist and PR consultant currently living in Estonia. As an extrovert ENFJ type personality, think Oprah, Barack Obama, or Reese Witherspoon. She just loves working with people. Her artistic costumes are manifestations of one's true self that can take any imaginable shape and form. Alexandra is currently working on a novel type of flash mob with a bunch of Zoomers. Welcome, Alexandra. How are you?
I'm very well. It's good to hear that every one of you is doing well as well. By the way, Dasha, you're not the only foreigner in a sense, because I'm European. I'm sitting in Estonia. I'm not even Estonian. I'm Austrian, living in Estonia. Yeah, I'm definitely an extrovert. You have to be to wear this kind of costume. On the other hand, I mean, it's butterflies all over. So you can already see it's like a very soft version of extroversion in a sense. And I've chosen this costume for this interview because it also brings out the soft side of me. I have like a warrior costume that's a little bit more, you know, with a bite and some other costumes. Yes, I am an artist and I now do PR for a living. Because unfortunately, it's not so easy to make money with art. It's definitely possible, but not easy at all. The thing with the PR is that happened by accident. I started to toy with the media a couple of years ago. Actually, I've been on television, all kinds of media in various countries and various languages since 2012. And most of that was an experiment, but a couple of years ago, I started to take an interest in US American media, and I just ran all kinds of experiments. Like, art is at its best, you know, an experiment, trying to figure out what goes, you know, how can you express yourselves? How can you maybe inspire other people to express themselves? And then at some point I realized, funny enough, it was an American who is pretty known in the PR industry, Greg Hylas, telling me that my pitch success rate was incredibly high, and that's as a foreigner. And that's when I realized, because I'm a Virgo, we never realize we're good at something unless somebody else tells us repeatedly. And then we're like, oh, okay. So it must be true. And also because I had no intention of really doing PR for a living. And then I thought like, okay, I've always been struggling. You know, I've been a copywriter for so long, and then Corona came and smashed this business. It was already like the third try. Then we started with PR and suddenly everything worked, you know. I got in a couple of really, like, I got my clients mainly into a couple of really high-level magazines. I was also quoted on BBC myself and Reader's Digest and all these things. That's how it happened. But PR is not really what I am about. I've known since I was 19 that I wanted to do art. But I knew I wasn't finished myself. So I'd started at 9 years of age, very early, with hardcore depth psychology,
But I love the art. I love the art. What I'm focused on is not just this outfit. I'm trying to figure out how I can get my window to do the fire like you did your window. What is that about?
That's the trees, actually. You mean the color, the shading?
Yeah, looks like fire, like, because it's just like this glow that's around you.
It's oranged, and then there's like the leaves. The leaves make this shading.
Oh, wow.
There are trees in front of the window. I don't know. If I open the
window, I thought it was a digital representation, but it's just on a screen.
I was distracted. I thought it was just me.
I love that too. I love it too, especially since I have autoimmune. So, which has turned me into a vampire in the last couple of years. So I have to stay inside a lot because I love the sun, but it's the Estonian sun is just too much in summer. It's too hot. It's really, it gives me headaches. So I have to like draw the blinds down a lot. And I really also love the shadings it makes and the birds chirping, you know, and sometimes seagulls come to visit and they beg for food. We've had that last week. Really funny. I don't know. It followed me. I went inside the building and the seagull followed me. I'd given it food and it came to my window and then it loudly begged for food. And I'm like, okay, I still have some fish. I gave it some fish anyways. But yeah, it's kind
I
of
love it. I love blessing. It. I love it. It's beautiful. Yeah. It is
it's
so beautiful.
I like it too.
I love it. I love the diversity today. And that's when I have the best shows. Because when everyone is all the same, I get bored easily. I don't know if you people can tell, but I get bored easily. So it's like I love the diversity that's on today's show. But I want to go back to something that Candace said, because I even took notes. I take notes on my own shows and write this down, because you mentioned the DE&I, which we talked about earlier with Charlene, but you also mentioned the whole idea of equal seat. And that kind of stood out to me, because when I was running for Long Beach City Council, one of the questions that I was asked was, do I believe or have the same belief system as Shirley Chisholm? And I said, you know what, much respect to her, what she did, she opened the door for so many people, but I'm not focused on having a seat at the table. My focus is on having my own table. So no matter what time I arrive at that table, it's my seat and nobody's going to be sitting in my seat. So I understand what you are saying, Candace, but do you ever feel that it's time for us to be a little bit more focused on, I guess, ownership aspect of that?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I think that we all are capable of, it takes time, right? You know, especially if you're young, you know, I'm only 25 years old, right? So for me, like, I'm like trying to create my own table seems a little unreachable at the moment, just because I know I have so much more ahead of me. I know I need to learn so much from so many other people who've done it before me. While at the same time, I know I'm confident in my own skin. I know where I stand. I know that I'm, you know, independent to a fault, as my mom likes to tell it. So for me, it's like, I do agree that we all need to take ownership and you need to understand and recognize yourself, love yourself first, have conversations with yourself first to realize where you're at in your journey, so that you can one day get to that point where you're saying, you know what, I'm going to create my own table. I need to be where I'm at. Everybody else can do what they want, but I know where I am at and where I want to be.
Yes. So, go
Candace,
ahead.
I just want to fix Candace.
Yeah.
Wow, you're young. I have to tell you, your idea of doing a 5-minute podcast of all the jumble that no one could keep track of is brilliant. So I don't want you to think you have to wait and you have it all figured out to start whatever you're going to start. Just keep being you. You have a knack for finding what needs to be done and doing it really well. You have a great speaking voice, by the way.
Thank you.
I hope you don't wait. I hope you don't wait and think that we elderly people, which I think I am on this call, have it all figured out, because we don't. Nobody has it all figured out. Just pay attention, ask questions as you go along, and you'll get there.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Yeah.
I'm just quoting like the phrase from the Charlene, you're enough.
Yeah.
Started. That was the whole speech about. So yeah. I started my own company at the age of 25. So I do remember how scary it was, how lots of people have been telling me that, like, hi, wait a second, get 10 years experience, you need X, Y, that. No, all I need is you and the courage, just like first step.
And actually, I find that amazing. Can you give me the number again? Did you say there were seven? How many thousands of people?
77,000 students.
That's unbelievable. But in 1 year, how long has this company been around?
2.5 years. 2.5 years.
So in 2.5 years, you've got 70,000
students. The ability to, how does that work? That they can learn for free in another country?
Now we match them with the scholarship and grants, and we match them with the schools, and we help them to get to the school and get the funding.
And do you charge students for this?
It's just like a subscription fee, yeah, but it's like very small. So yeah, and then to the day they like save like hundreds of thousands of US dollars on their like bachelor's and master's.
Right.
Amazing.
Wow. Charlene, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
No, I mean, I think it's great. I find it really interesting that with this new generation that I put both Dasha and Candace into, you know, it's, you know, you all were born to be entrepreneurs. You know, when I came up and was starting my career, you know, it was all about getting into a big company and building your career and building your career almost on their terms, not on your own terms. And one of the things that I love about talking to young people, my girls included, who are 27 and 25, and you know, they are very much very entrepreneurial. You know, one has a corporate job, but of course she's got a side hustle because everyone your age has a side hustle. And you know, and I just think that it's great that, you know, whereas my generation was saying, okay, how do we assimilate? How do I become what I need to be in order to be accepted in this environment? The younger generation is pretty much saying, screw that. I am not going to assimilate to you. You need to assimilate to me. And quite frankly, your generation is large enough that you can command that. And companies are having to rethink and alter the way they do things as a result. And certainly if you look at the research coming out of the pandemic, you know, these big corporate structures, you know, these cultures, they're scared to death that they're going to be, that they aren't going to be able to attract the right talent because the younger generation is saying, you know, I kind of like this remote work business. I kind of like this work from everywhere because it's not about the butts and seats. It's about getting the job done. And so I really, really applaud you. And I think Sharifa talking about not worrying about having a seat at the table, but creating your own table is brilliant. You know, I always say to people, you know, it's not about you having a seat at the table. It's about whether or not the people who are there are comfortable with you being there. And I like taking it to that next step that what you said, Sharifa, which is build your own table. And I think that's what a lot of us are doing here, right? Is we're building our own tables. And I think, I just think that that is really noteworthy. And so congratulations to everybody.
Thank you. This is my table, the round table talk show. Exactly. Like, you go give me what I want. I'm going to make my own. And I'm going to sit down and talk to people. We're going to have conversations and we're going to figure it out. But Charlene, you're absolutely correct about the generation being able to make more demands on these companies. One of the things that I've seen, and I love to hear everyone's thoughts as far as the younger generation, is that they're demanding these companies have more of a social impact. And that's something that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. Has anyone else seen the same thing?
No, I'll jump in and then let someone else take it over. But certainly in being a corporate communications and corporate affairs professional for my entire career, I've seen this incredible shift with companies where originally what we called, you know, CSR, right? And people, you know, companies focus on what was good for them. And I think what we've seen since the pandemic, since we've seen that what people are calling a racial reckoning, although I'm not quite sure that's exactly what it is just yet, you know, the companies are now, or rather employees are now saying, it's not enough that I have a job with you. What matters to me is who you are as a company, what your values are, and how you're showing up every day to be true to those values. So if you're going to take from our community, if you're going to take from us, then you've got to be able to give something back. And increasingly employees are demanding that and they're voting with their feet. If the company is not being true to what they say, you know, if you take just something, you know, you take Black Lives Matter and, you know, everybody's talking about how Black Lives Matter, you know, we recommit to the solidarity with our Black and Brown employees, you know, well, screw that. I don't really care about your rhetoric. I care about your reality and your action. And I see the younger generation, and Candace, you probably have a view on this as well, but I see the younger generation demanding that. And if you're disingenuous, they're going elsewhere. Again, they're voting with their feet. Candace, you want to comment on that?
Yes, I definitely do. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with, you know, people younger than me, people my age, and people older than me about this specific topic, in the sense that a lot of these big corporations, because I'll give you a little bit of background. So my boyfriend is a straight white male, right? And so we have to have these tough conversations sometimes where, you know, I have to tell him it's difficult sometimes being a Black woman in America. You need to understand that. You need to, you know, understand what's going on. And I tell him all the time, when it comes to these big corporations, it doesn't, you know, obviously it matters the work that you get done, but what's more important is what you're doing in the world for other people who don't look like you, who don't have the same mission, vision, values as you. What are you doing? What is your company doing? You know, and he's like, well, that doesn't really matter. Like, I need to just do my job. I need to get paid. I'm like, no, it matters more than you know. You know, yes, we all want to get our job done. We all want to get that paycheck at the end of the week. I completely understand that. And I've always talked about it too with, you know, smaller businesses and startups, how I get it. They're just trying to get off the ground. They're just trying to get revenue in the bank. I completely understand. But if you don't have that, you know, equity pillar within the foundation of your business, you are not going to succeed in this world. It's just not going to happen.
Dasha, love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I did have. Thanks. As a startup, I actually can see, you know, like the huge difference in like maybe in the past 2 years, because it used to be very difficult to attract young talent to the startups because, come on, like the pay is like much lower, the work amount is like twice higher, stress is like quadruple higher, and so on. But then I really noticed the shift, you know, like in mentality, and not just young generation, but even like, you know, like older generation as well. What is different, like in our case, because we have a very solid foundation of the social impact. We bring in equality to the whole world. We give an equal access to education to everyone. And I can see how people actually attracted to us just because they understand that everything they're doing on a day-to-day basis is really committed to the bigger vision, very global, positive vision. And that's been tremendously, you know, like noticeable that we have, you know, people who just quitting the jobs and corporations, you know, like, and, you know, like cutting their salaries 3 times just because I want to be part of something big and meaningful. And I want to make sure I actually stand, you know, like I'm part of the pack of the people who believe in the same, who like believe in like solving problems together with us. So we have this like big vision on the corporate level. We do share, you know, like small little things that we share inside. Like, for example, we have a tradition inside. Like if I buy new clothes, I do recycle 2 extra. So we love for responsible waste, for like ecological, because we're international. We started to create a community of people who live around the world and like share, hey, that's how we recycle the garbage in Netherlands. And that's how we deal with this problem in Sweden. And that's how we do this in Australia. So I do believe it's really important. And it really helps people, you know, like to get so much more emotions, you know, like from the work, because, you know, like whenever you're working, you just spend so much of yourself. You want to make sure that what you're getting back is not just salary. It's something, you know, like being part of something much bigger and positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Alexandra, what are your thoughts on the social impact for companies?
I'm not surprised that, especially right now or in the past 2 years, this has become a big topic. I mean, from my point of view, the way I grew up, having to be my own compass, this might sound awful to an American audience. Please don't misunderstand what I mean. When I grew up, I didn't really care about the way you looked or your background and everything. I do know that specifically in the US and just generally speaking, BIPOC people or Black people or Native Americans have suffered incredibly and have overcome hundreds of years of oppression. But in Europe where I grew up, we're pretty much all white. I saw the first Black person at 14. Nevertheless, I mean, I was aware that there are different races, different looks, etc. And for me, this was only a positive thing. It was never a negative thing. Also, until I was like 20, I never came across any situation because of the sheer lack of numbers of people of different skin colors or orientations around me where I would have seen or spotted any kind of social injustice. However, I've always my whole life, I mean, for over 24 years now, I've tirelessly helped people in my spare time. Any kind of person that needed help, where I saw that I had energy to help, I've helped when I was sick, when I could barely crawl myself. And I don't differ whether the person is Black, white, Chinese, or whatever. Again, this is not being ignorant. I understand the backgrounds. I cannot always empathize with everything 100% because I am white. I was born white in a country surrounded by white people. Okay. However, my company, my NGO, I have two. My NGO, we made sure right from the start that we have pretty much everyone from any kind of, like, we're trying to get as many different diverse voices as possible in the company. So it's all Generation Z. I'm the only one who is not Generation Z. I organize it, but we have, well, we have Asian, Arab, we have an Asian lady, we have Russian, Estonian, Austrian, Latin.
I hear you, Alexandra. No, I hear you. It was nothing that you said that would upset me. It was nothing that you said that I feel that could be misunderstood. And what I have found, especially in the last year, with the past year, with the whole George Floyd tragedy, ever since that occurred, I've been asked to speak on panel after panel after panel. If you go to AshSharifa.com and you look at about, it'll show you I'm an expert in DE&I. That's why they wanted me to sit on these panels. But what I found is so many people who said the exact same thing that you did. They said to me on through Zoom, they looked me in my face and they said, Sharifa, I had no idea. I had no idea there was so much racial injustice. I had no idea that so much was going on. And at that time in my life, the person who didn't understand their perspective said, how could you not know? That was my first response. How could you not know? But what I found is because there are so many people, for whatever reason, they lived in kind of a bubble. They didn't necessarily interact with certain races. So they didn't know their story and their struggle and their experience. But I just am so happy that so many people are waking up and seeing what other people are dealing with in the world. And they're not only waking up, but they're taking steps and they're taking actions to correct the wrongs that were made. So I appreciate you being honest. That's what I love more than anything else, is people who are transparent, honest, and authentic. Holly, I wanted to allow Candace an opportunity because we're going to run out of time pretty soon. But Candace has some questions for you, and I love to give her the opportunity to ask.
Yes, thank you so much. So first question, not exactly in regards to also the amnesia, but is that a Connect Four board behind you?
Yes. I love this show. Yes. We ask, it's we so want to cool. know.
It's so cool. So we play. I love to play, and I was having lots of parties, and look how big the chips are, like as big as the They're so cool. They're really good quality. And so some people call and we play virtually right now just for fun.
Yeah, that's so fun. I just noticed that and I'm like, I kind of want to play some Connect Four now. I think I need to go Connect Four.
No, I love it. And why it stood out to me though was, and this is a whole different, I'm gonna let you come back to your questions, Candace. I'm gonna go right for a minute. And I'm not going to comment too much, but for the last 2 weeks, I have been watching Kwame Brown. I have been just focused on what this man has to say. And while he's going off on the world, he's sitting there playing Connect Four with his son. I'm like, this is I'm a man. I'm playing Connect Four with my son. So you know what, Candace? You're going to go out, buy you a Connect Four. I'm going to go out, buy me a Connect. We're going to play. I'm going to play with Holly or whoever else wants to play.
There we go.
Go ahead, Candace. On my soapbox.
Yeah, of course. No, I love it. Let's all get together and play some Connect Four. So in regards to that Connect Four, I was wondering, does that help you kind of visualize and memorize your spatial awareness at all?
Yeah, it actually does. So because I can't visually remember anything, playing Connect Four on a big board helps, but I can't visually remember. Like I put three over here, I have to mentally remember, right? Mm-hmm. I can't just visualize the board. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is. There's many things I do to kind of try to strengthen the muscle that isn't there, but that's one of them.
Yeah. Could you talk about them? I'm sorry, I'm just really curious.
No need to apologize. This is what we're here for, to have a conversation.
So there's a lot of things that I do in my world. Like, for example, I teach kindergarten. Now, I have to memorize all of my children. That isn't hard. Just like if you look at this call here, we all look very different from each other. So I can memorize what everyone looks like. I could then not confuse people. The problem is my students' parents, I don't see them very often, and trying to memorize them, and you're busy at the time. It's not like I have a photo and I can memorize. So I've come up with a lot of secrets to help me. They'll say like, how did he do? And I'm like, well, how did he do this morning when he was at home? Parents almost never refer to their children as a pronoun. They'll say, well, I'll make up a name, Jacob. This morning I said, Jacob, get in the shower, and he wouldn't. So there's so many little secrets that I have to use in my life. There's so many things I do to memorize. GPS is my friend. I cannot get to work without visually really paying attention. I get lost a lot. Even if I'm out for a walk in my neighborhood, because I can't visually reconnect, right? I have to look at a street sign. So I have a lot of work to do to be alive in the world. I have a lot of memorizing.
No, I have a question, and this question is going to be weird because I love asking weird questions, Holly. But I speak to so many people who have some form of illness, disability, something going on. And I love when they say, you know what, I'm not just going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to go ahead and do this. But how did you get to the point where you're like, I mean, because if I had amnesia and I couldn't remember any of this, I probably would be sitting somewhere just, you know, not doing too much of anything. How do you get the courage to keep going and start your businesses and write your books?
You know, that's a really good question. And I am asked that a lot. I am a special education teacher and I'm alive in the world. And luckily as a special education teacher, my gift to students of all ages is to use your ability, use what you're good at to help you with what needs help. So you always start from your ability. So my ability is curiosity. I want to know about everything. I could talk to any of the women on this panel, including you, Sharifa, for hours. I'm so curious. And so I'm able to go out in the world with my curiosity leading and I'm using my strengths to help me move forward.
What would you talk to me about, Holly? What would we discuss?
That's a good question. I want to know how you came up with this concept. I want to know who are some of the interesting people that you've met here. I want to know what your children think about this, if they're ever part of it. I want to know what your community of your friends that surround you. I want to know how you've gotten this down to such a science. I want to know what feeds you, how it feeds you what you're doing. I want to know if you've ever had a guest that you had to be like, they accidentally hung up. If you've ever hung up on anyone.
we got like 2 seconds to answer all these questions.
I know, I can go forever.
No, if you have time one day, this is whatever is fixed to your calendar, I'll do a special show with you and you can ask me whatever you want to know.
How's that? I would love that. Yeah, we'll
okay,
do that.
Okay, so whenever you have time, as soon as you have time, we'll do that show. But I'm going to answer one quick question that stood out to me is my kids. I always say, I do all of this for them. They're 24 and 27. I've done this. I started this process not because I wanted to be rich, famous or whatever. I had 2 kids. I was a single mom and my kids were like, what's for dinner? And I was like, I got to feed these kids. So I had to figure it out, you know? So that was the method to my madness. That was all behind it. But I love talking to people. And when people won't give me what I want, then I'm like, okay. In the Long Beach Post last Wednesday, they ran an article, Sharifa Hardy, Queen of DIY in Business. And that's my philosophy. You're going to either give me what I want, or I'm going to go build a table that is 1 + 1 = 2, and that's it. But I'm running out of time and I'm gonna go over Holly. So we're gonna email back and forth. And whenever you wanna sit down and ask, I'm gonna, cause this would be fun. No, usually I get to ask all the questions and I do interviews, but people always ask the safe questions. They never ask anything you just ask. So I'm excited about that, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience. To everyone who is watching this show, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And again, we have a few minutes, ladies, because I'm running over. I talk way too much. So Candace, what do you want them to take away?
Yeah, well, first I want to thank them for being here with us today and listening to all that we have to say. The best message I can give is, you know, if you are at someone's table or if you're building your own table, make sure you bring other people with you. Mm. Don't ever just go by yourself. Bring other people with you.
I love that. And look, we got 24-year-old, 25-year-old, 28, and they dropping some gems today. That was a pearl, Candace.
Thank you.
You are so welcome, Dasha, 28-year-old pearl.
My message to the world from today is if you don't really understand someone's problem does not mean that this problem does not exist. And it only means that we do not understand this. And that's opportunity for us to explore. And it's curiosity that it takes this world to to actually understand and to come to, you know, like the common denominator.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And if people are interested in finding more information about how they can travel abroad as a student for free, where would they go?
Studyfree.com. Looking for everyone, guys. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Alexandra, what do you have for us?
Well, I would say, especially to the young people, to understand that they should try to be their own compass, you know, not to listen to anybody but their own self, their own soul first. Of course, there are people, especially if you have friendly people like a family, you need to answer to. And then, of course, there's God if you believe in the divine. But I mean, given that, thinking that if you just try to be your own best self, this will be something positive, it's a given that you will try to express yourself in positive, healthy ways. And once you've done that, it's important that you go look for your tribe. So there will be friendly people around, you know, like individuals like you, maybe not looking like you, maybe from all over the place, but you will find them. It might take some time, but that's what it is, you know. You really just need to learn to know and accept yourself. And then you can, once you know that, you can give that to other people. And then you can like grow and gather other people around you. And this, you need to make a healthy start. And the only healthy start there can be is knowing yourself first and having a good, healthy, self-supportive life. And then basically branching out, like growing out, like all the butterflies, sort of like.
I love it. Like all the butterflies all over, branching out into the world. Don't go to that table alone. Absolutely. Miss Charlene, what do you have for us?
Gosh, well, of course, you know, as I started out, is, you know, I'm on a mission to make sure everyone understands that they are enough, because so many people suffer from imposter syndrome and are always very concerned about whether or not they measure up. And if there's one thing I really want people to do, it really is to pick up my book. It's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And, you know, and here's the thing, if you've ever written a book, you know, you don't get rich writing a book. Trust me. So the purpose of my book is not to sell books. It's to deliver that message, right? I have career lessons and life lessons from my battle with cancer that has taught me so much about how to walk in this world in an authentic way. And so I just really want people to get that message. You know, the anchor Robin Roberts always says, you know, make your mess your message. Well, this book is my mess and my message. And even if you can't afford the book, hit me up on LinkedIn and I'll send it to you for free. That's how much I believe in the message of the book. And I'll say the last thing that I will say is the importance of self-care, of taking care of yourself to make sure that you stay healthy, because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. And so I remind audiences a lot, you know, a dead battery can't jump a dead battery. So You have to put yourself first, and you are enough.
I love it. A dead battery can't jump a dead battery. I love that. And I always say my little car comparison is that so often we ride, it's like a car riding around on E. We're trying to help everybody else, but you can't get to them if you are on E. So you got to fill up first.
Exactly.
Then
you can help
everyone else. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Charlene. Miss Holly, what do you have for us?
All right. I have a promise that when I do it, another session with Miss Sharifa here, that I'm going to ask her questions that she is not expecting. I'm not going to tell her ahead of time. So make sure you look for that. But my message for the world, curiosity is so important. I am a teacher and I'm really interested in teaching and the work behind it. I am an author. I formulate skincare products that really work and they're super high quality. I've not pigeonholed myself into one thing. I do so many different things, and I highly recommend, whether you are in your 20s or in your 50s or any age, keep your curiosity alive and feed your soul with your curiosity. What do you want? What do you like? And go for it.
I love that. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going come up with all the questions you want, but I didn't even mention it. One of the things that I saw earlier that I wanted to mention with you, Holly, is that even though you do different things, they still are basically in the same kind of, you know, ballpark. What I mean by that is the children are our future. You're teaching them how to be better people, right? Then you have your skincare line, and skincare is about what Charlene said. It's about self-care, taking care of yourself. And that's one thing. But then you're like, you know what? I'm an author. Let me bring this message to people. Let me share my story. And that also was self-care, because one of the things that, one of the reasons why I love having so many different diverse people on the show is because as a business consultant, people come to me on a daily basis with excuses. And I'm like, okay, well, let me show you this interview I just did with Holly. Right. If anyone should be able to make an excuse as far as why she can't do something, she could have said, I didn't make the show today, Sharifa, because I forgot. And who would I, you know, I mean, like, I can't say she didn't forget, but she doesn't make excuses. So that's why I just love speaking to so many different people who don't make excuses, because you take the excuses away from everyone else. So I just want to thank you, beautiful, amazing, incredible ladies, for being today's guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. As I always say, just because you didn't catch the show live does not mean you're not important. And it definitely doesn't mean we don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. But as always, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to share their stories, their information, their journey with you. So please support them. Go ahead and pick up a copy of Charlene's book. Charlene is willing to give it to you for free, and free is my favorite number. Absolutely free. So there's no excuse. Charlene took your excuse away. There's no excuse for not picking up her book. There's no excuse for not traveling abroad. There's no excuse for not getting your story out there. PR is the way to go. There's no excuse for not doing whatever it is that you want to do. So visit our guests on social media, reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe, definitely today, have a safe Memorial Day weekend. No drinking, no driving. If you want to drink, have fun. Just do it at home or take an Uber. Everybody, until tomorrow, be blessed. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thanks so much.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.